Appreciate that scripture reading by Brother Richie. That scripture reading there in Romans 12 chapter, verses 3 through 21, will be in the last section of this lesson. But what you see in that entire context of really what is being presented is the thought of taking the I and the me out of our minds. And it's really about, it's about others. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. You know, we live in a society that is just so about themselves. They are just so what's in it for me? What do I get out of the situation? They're consumed with themselves. I will not be dissed by anyone, disrespected by anyone. I'll not allow that to take place. It's about themselves. Such a selfish attitude that is seen in our society today. Is not to be seen in the Christian. And really, it's a benefit for us when we take the I and the my and the me out of our minds and we get rid of that. It also opens up the door, as we're going to be finding out, for us to be better than what we are. If we can get that out of our thought, that concept of I, my, and me, get that out of our minds. We broaden our understanding, we broaden our horizons, so to speak, by doing that. I want you to notice some of the I and the my, the me, and so forth in Scripture that is presented to us. First of all, with a wise principle and instruction that was given by Solomon in Proverbs 15 chapter and verse 22. He says there, without counsel plans fail, but with many advisors they succeed. And of course, what he's talking about here is to be understood in a qualified application. And we see the unqualified aspect of it when we look at his son, Rehoboam, that took his place as king over Israel. In 1 Kings, the 12th chapter, verse 6 through 11. Notice this with me, if you would, how it has to be qualified by having many advisors. That is, good advisors. There's the qualifying aspect to this. That really makes us where we don't just trust in self, but we rely on others. But it has to be with the right group. It has to be with the right advisors. Beginning in verse 6, then King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men who had stood before Solomon his father while he was yet alive, saying, how do you advise me to answer this people? And I want you to note that here you have men that were tried and true and stood before his father Solomon, the wisest man on the face of the earth, and they learned from that man, from the wisdom that he had shown forth in handling the people and so forth. They had experience, they had knowledge, they had age, maturity to them. They had a good instructor in Solomon. They were qualified to be advisors because they had shown themselves to be advisors under the auspices of the oversight of Solomon. And these men said to him, verse 7, if you will be a servant to the people today and serve them and speak good words to them when you answer them, then they will be your servants forever. And that was good advice. And it's really the way that it is to be for our leaders. As a matter of fact, it's the same way for our elders. Our elders, our shepherds, are here not to whip us into shape, as Greg talked about in his opening comments this morning, but rather to be examples. And the elders set forth the examples that we follow. And they're good advisors to us. We see in verse 8 it says, but he abandoned the counsel that the old men gave him and took counsel with the young men whom he had grown up with that stood before him. And he said to them, and I want you to notice this, what do you advise that we answer this people? He took the I and the my out of the scripture, but yet he included it with unqualified advisors. You look up above there in verse 6, and I have underlined, how do you advise me to answer this people, that is, the wise, mature ones, versus what do you advise that we answer this people? Where if I look at this, I come to understand that it was a gratuitous question that he asked the old men that were advisors to his father. Never really intending to take their advice. And so he says to now these younger ones, these advisors that are really unqualified, It did not give good advice. How do you say I should answer to the people that say, lighten the yoke that your father put on us? And the young men who had grown up with him said, you shall speak to the people who said to you, your father made our yoke heavy, but you lighten it for us. Thus you shall say to them, my little finger is thicker than my father's thigh, and now whereas my father laid on you a heavy yoke, I will add on to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions. Exactly the opposite of the good advice that was given. Here we see instruction is important, but we also have to consider the advice that we receive. And so many times I'm afraid that Christians will look for advice from people of the world, and they're not going to advise you in things that are spiritual. And young people will look for advice many times from people who have not lived life, rather than those that have. They'll look to those of their same age that can only speak to the things that they know. They don't really have the experience. And old people will sometimes not look to young people for advice to see sometimes changes are needed. But we need to look for good qualified advice. We need to receive that wise instruction from many advisors. Think about the I and the me and the my as we look at Luke the 12th chapter, verse 16 through 19. This is the rich farmer that Jesus spoke, of course, there in that passage. Luke 12, 16 through 19. It says that he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, self-determination, saying, what shall I do? Self-decision. Because I, self-promotion, have no room to store my fruits, not given by the Lord, but what he had done in his mind. And he said, I will do this, self-direction. I will pull down my barns and build bigger ones, and I will store all my fruits and my goods there. And I will say to my soul, that which he had no right to say, because he did not have control, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years, take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. We know the rest of this. In this parable, the Lord says to him, thou fool, this night thy soul is required of you. In every aspect of this, he was looking to himself. He had the I, the me, and the my that was in his thoughts and minds and was not looking unto God. Self-direction, thought he had self-control. He had control over nothing. What he did not realize was, of course, is that he was blessed to be in the situation with his ground bringing forth plentifully, and he did not appreciate that and look to it. And wherever he looked to himself, he missed the aspect of blessing. And that happens so often with us today, where we get so focused on ourselves, so selfish, we miss the aspect of blessing. And blessing comes in so many different forms. Just think about this congregation this morning. We have little bitty babies. What a blessing. What a blessing. And not only in this congregation, but online with us also, the small ones. They are a blessing to us. You know what they do for us? They make us joyous. They make us happy. They make us forget about our aches and pains, those of us that are older. What a blessing that is. We don't focus on ourselves so much when we have these young people around us. What a blessing. And then the young, those that have those babies, the young couples that are out there, and also the young men that are out there, you have a blessing with the older ones in this congregation. And you need not to overlook that blessing. You have shepherds, and you also have older men and women of the congregation, and also the young women in the congregation. You have the older women of the congregation that have gone through the things that you're going through now that they can help you with. And all you have to do is ask, and they'd be so willing to help. But sometimes that doesn't happen because we're so focused on I, me, and my. Don't be like this one that's spoken of by Christ Jesus. There are consequences, of course, to all this. Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 9, that is looking just at ourselves, being selfish. Solomon says this, rejoice, O young man, Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. In other words, temper your actions. Temper your thought of I, me, and my. temper just looking at yourself. Temper trusting just in yourself, because there's going to be consequences. God will bring you into every judgment, you and me, for the way that we conduct ourselves. And especially when we're selfish and we just look inwardly rather than looking outwardly. We are to put the you, your, and others in our minds. And we see Solomon talk about this also. Rebuke is beneficial for the wise, and that's not going to happen internally. Very few can really rebuke themselves. I'm not saying it's impossible. As a matter of fact, one of our shepherds this morning said he said something that he regretted, and he rebuked himself. And what a grand example that he is for us this morning, that he made those statements. We see in Proverbs 17, chapter and verse 10, a rebuke goes deeper into a man of understanding than 100 blows into a fool. And what is meant by Solomon here is beneficial. When we receive rebuke as constructive, it is beneficial in our lives. And we receive it because we're not just looking at self. We're not thinking about our own reputation from our own mind, but we're looking outwardly to others to receive that rebuke. In the 7th chapter in verse 5 of Ecclesiastes, Solomon says, "It is better for a man to hear the rebuke of the wise than to hear the song of fools." That's what happened with Rehoboam. That's what happened with Rehoboam. And those of the world that will give advice and counsel to Christians about things, of course, I'm not talking about finances and so forth. I'm not talking about things like that. I'm talking about how to really live life. That when we trust in those that are of the world, they're going to give us counsel of how to live worldly rather than how to live spiritually in Christ Jesus. Trusting in self is really bondage. When we don't look outside of ourself, we're really in bondage. Proverbs 26 and verse 12, "Do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him." Those that recognize that they have limitations, they have hope. But the one that says that he can do it all, or that she can do it all, "I know all things, I know what is best," he says there's more hope for a fool than it is for the one that has that attitude. Proverbs 28 verse 6, "Whosoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered." And walking in wisdom is looking outward, trusting in others, listening to counsel, listening to advice, taking that, weighing that, understanding that it is for our own good when we seek out the proper counsel from the proper people. Well, then it's a walk in wisdom. And it's a release then from the bondage that we're under of just looking into self. Wisdom will be delivered, that is, in our actions. And we always have to remember that what we do, especially as we look just to self, others are affected. Proverbs 10 and verse 17, "Whosoever heeds instruction is on the path to life, but he who rejects reproof leads others astray." Those who heed instruction will grow, they will understand more, there will be fewer problems in their life because they receive instruction probably from those that have lived in a way that they shouldn't have lived. They've seen the mistakes that they made and they are ready and willing to pass that on to others. But if you reject that, you'll walk down that path, and many times there are great sorrows and tears on that path. Take the instruction of others. Take the me and the my and the I out of your concept and your thoughts. Put the you and yours and others, help me, but looking outwardly. I want to notice what was read this morning from Romans the 12th chapter, verses 3 through 21, because it really is taking the I and the my and the me out of our thoughts. That's really what Paul is presenting. And he says here in verse 3, "For by the grace given to me," this is Romans 12, verse 3, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment." And I'll tell you, there's practice in that. There's practice in not thinking more highly than we ought to think of ourselves. I sometimes think that there are those that are that lack confidence. But I believe that there are many more of those that are overconfident in themselves and think that they have the answer to all things. And we need to listen. That's part of the reason we come together and we have Bible study. We listen to all the different thoughts that are out there. We hear different things. And at the end of it, we may not all agree exactly on the things that are not necessary to our soul salvation, but we have such a wide range to draw from, the different thoughts of people that are out there, that maybe we can have a broader understanding than when we first came to consider certain passages. When we look in Romans, the 12th chapter, now in verses 9 through 15, beginning in verse 9, it's really key when we look to others and get out of our selfish mode to let love be genuine. And what we do when we get out of that mode of selfishness is really start to show the type of love that Jesus presented to us that had not been presented before until he came to this earth, and that is the agape love. And he says, because of that, abhor that which is evil, hold fast to that which is good. Verse 10, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. We do that because we're not looking inwardly. We are fervent in the Spirit because we serve the Lord when we don't look inwardly, but we look outwardly. We contribute to the needs of the saints. That's not only physical benevolence, but also every aspect spiritually to one another. We show hospitality. We rejoice with those that are rejoicing. We weep with those who weep. Let me tell you, Sister Ramona is with us this morning. And I've called her several times, almost every day, while she was in the hospital and now that she's gotten out. And there is such joy in her voice whenever we have prayer together. And I'm not talking about what I do. I'm talking about the effects on her, because I know that some others have also done the same thing. And I know that they've noticed this. And she has called me sometimes whenever she's needed prayer, and I'm sure she's done that with others also. And that's contributing to the needs of that sister. And we have others that are in the hospital and others that right now some of us are not seeing very much. It doesn't take much time to pick up that phone. It doesn't take much time to not look inwardly. It doesn't take much time to look outwardly and call those and rejoice with them wherever they rejoice. And when Sister Ramona was in the hospital, we wept together when she wasn't doing so well. I know others have done the same thing. We do that when we look outside of self, when we're not selfish. And it doesn't take any time at all. And I'll tell you, those that are in that situation, they desire those prayers. They desire just to have the knowledge that my brothers and sisters care for me. I urge you to do that. We still have Brother Ron in the hospital. We have Sister Martha that is at home. Brother Johnny, Sister Lucy, call them. Sister Ramona is out now. Excuse me, and thank goodness for that. Call her. Call her. She's not able to be among the brethren. And so call her. And the others also. Look outside yourself. And then in verses 16 through 21 of Romans, the 12th chapter, we cannot live in harmony with one another unless we look outside of self. The majority of situations that come up in congregations, really, especially if there is trouble, really are not doctrinal. Many times it is that which is of opinion. But we can live in harmony where we're looking not just within, but also we look outside and recognize that opinions are not that which is to domineer over one another. We can give our opinions, but understand that at the end they're still just opinions. We look to live in harmony and understand that particular concept. That there are differing opinions and concepts that are out there, and not in matters of our soul salvation. I'm not talking about that, and you know that. But such as going back to the building. The shepherds heard the cry, "We want to go back." The shepherds found a way to make that happen and to work with those that wanted to go back. Not just wanted, but needed to go back. There's harmony now in this congregation. We have those that had said, "Wherever you meet again, we'll return." They did that. They're back with us this morning. How wonderful that is. He says then in the The remainder of verse 16, do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. We're not to think of ourselves more highly, and he gets to that point once again. Never be wise in your own sight. There's always a different way of looking at things. Don't repay evil for evil. Live peaceably with all. And that is as we possibly can. There may be those that we cannot do that with because they will turn and rend us, as Jesus spoke of. But we don't avenge ourselves. Vengeance is the Lord's, as we see in verse 19. And so then we see this attitude that we are to have beginning in verse 20. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. And what that means, he will take attention. He will take attention to how he's treated. It will probably make a difference. And then in looking outwardly and not just inwardly, verse 21, do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. That is because of all that we can draw from one another in the way that we conduct ourselves. Take the I and the my out of your thoughts and minds. You know, where we do that, even in marriage relationship, if one of the spouses says, this is mine and that's mine and those things are mine, there's no ownership that is given to the other spouse, whether it's money or possessions or whatever it is, my house, my money, and they have no ownership of that situation. And what happens quite often is that one, since they have no ownership in it, wherever they get a moment to spend the money, it will go out the door very quickly because they don't feel any of the ownership of it. And same thing with possessions. But wherever it's ours, that makes a difference. Because it is the mind of taking out the I and the me and the my, and putting in the ours and the you and yours and others. What can I do for you? You know, this morning, if you're not a child of God, there's something that the Lord can do for you. He can save your soul. And He can do that if you'll render obedience to Him. And if you will this day, by faith, come to Him, and that is not just believe that He exists, but believe everything that He says from God's Word. If you'll have that faith with a penitent attitude that says, I'm going to change my mind because I recognize the way that I'm living is not going to lead to anything but destruction. If you will name the name of Christ, making a commitment to Him this morning, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, make a commitment before this congregation. And then if you'll be baptized for the remission of your sins, you see what you've done. If you'll do those things, you have begun to look not just within yourself, but outside of yourself and where you really need to look, and that is at Christ Jesus. If you'll do that this morning, you can become a child of God. There are those at the building that you can say, I want to be baptized right now, and the water is ready, and everyone is there. That can be done. Those that are online with us, you can contact any one of the men, especially the elders, the shepherds that you have, that you see on the screen this morning. Contact them. Maybe you're a child of God, but you've been looking so selfishly at just yourself, thinking about what's in it for me, that you've forgotten to really look outside and you really find yourself now in bondage with an attitude that isn't helping, but one that really pushes people away. There are those at the building, you can come forward during that song. And we have a shepherd there at the building, Brother Greg Stroud, he's there. And we can pray with you and for you. And those that are online, again, you can call these same numbers and we'll pray the prayer that needs to be prayed for those that will confess their wrongs. Because now, you see, that's not looking inwardly anymore. That's looking for the Lord first and also to brethren in time of need, spiritual need. You know, as I said, we live in this selfish world. But that's not the way that Christians are to be. We're to be looking outside to help us grow, to help us become stronger, to help us be more effective in our lives, not only among brethren, but also out in the world. Will you not today look inwardly, but will you look outwardly? We're going to sing a song of encouragement at this time, and we ask you to come as we stand and sing.
I surrender all, number 98.
Say.